In New York, 20 institutions have come together for a citywide series of exhibitions and programs called the Buddhism Project to explore the impact of Buddhist thought on contemporary art and culture in America. As part of this initiative, the Asia Society is staging a showcase of ancient Buddhist art drawn from the Mr. and Mrs. John D. Rockefeller III collection. Keith toured the exhibit with the curator, Colin McKenzie.
The historical Buddha who lived in the 6th or perhaps early 5th century, he did not preach a religion, he preached a philosophy. So for a number of centuries, he was not actually represented. And it was only round about the turn of the first century that he begins to be represented, initially by symbols such as the lotus or footprints, and then figures of Buddha begin to appear. As particularly as Mahayana Buddhism developed, another type of divinity appeared, that is to say the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva is a being who hasn't attained enlightenment but stays within this world in order to help humankind.
And do you have samples or examples of those different points in the evolution?
We do, actually. The earliest Buddhist piece we have in the exhibition is from Gandhara, the area of Kashmir and Pakistan. In ancient times, actually, at some point had been colonized by the Greeks, and it's a sort of post-classical culture. And some of the earliest figures of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas come from that region, and their drapery is very much in classical style, and even their faces rather evoke classical forms. And then moving forward, we have wonderful pieces from the classic age of Indian Buddhist sculpture, that is to say the Gupta period of the 5th and 6th centuries. Very, very rare. And we have three wonderful pieces, two bronzes and a stone piece. And they all represent the historical Buddha, Gautama Buddha. And they are idealized forms. The drapery is virtually transparent, and you see these wonderful, slightly abstracted torsos and limbs, because the whole idea is that by this time the Buddha has become the perfect being, and he has to be represented with all his perfection revealed. And the exhibition actually is divided into two parts. The large gallery contains the sculptures, and the smaller gallery contains Buddhist paintings. And we have designated this as a meditation room, where you can go in, sit on the carpet, and meditate. Likewise, if you're not into meditation, you can also go in and enjoy the paintings. This is the meditation room, and as you can see, it's quite fairly dark, conducive to meditation, and in it we have displayed four paintings and a couple of sculptures. Three of them are Japanese and one is Tibetan, and the painting we're standing in front of at the moment is a painting of Amida Raigo from the 13th century. Amida, he's Lord of the Western Paradise, but in Japan he had another a role and function, and that was comforter of people who are very ill and probably about to pass away, and he descends from paradise to lead their souls away, actually. And often in Japan, threads were connected from the dying person to scrolls such as this. It's a remarkably beautiful image, actually. His body is covered in gold leaf because the Buddha was the perfect being. His body was gold, and his garments are beautiful, typical of actually going back to Tang and Silk Road styles, these roundels on his red robe. And then the delicacy of his hands is so remarkable as well. This is one of our great pieces.
Tell us about this piece.
This is an image of Byakuya Kanon, or White Robe Kanon, and this is actually closely associated with Zen Buddhism. And as you can see, it's monochromatic. It doesn't have the wonderful colors of the Amida Raigo. Zen Buddhism was anti-textual, anti-religious in a way. The idea was that it all depended on the individual to attain enlightenment. And that enlightenment was attained through meditation and perhaps also through mundane work as well. But this type of scroll would have been hung in the monks' quarters. And it's a wonderful image, a very soft image, actually. We're now in the Mr. and Mrs. John D. Rockefeller III gallery, in which we're displaying almost exclusively a sculpture. We have just one painting in here. We've divided the exhibition into, you could say, really three sections. One section on the Buddha, one section on the Buddha of the future, Maitreya, and then one section on the Bodhisattva and other deities. And so we're now standing in the area of the Buddha. And these first images actually tell the story of the Buddha's life, or aspects, events in the Buddha's life, and his quest for enlightenment and his attainment of enlightenment indeed. This Buddha here is very interesting because Buddhas normally don't wear crowns, and they don't wear earrings, and they don't wear jewelry. When the Buddha left his home, and he came from a very rich, wealthy, aristocratic family, in fact, he's often described as from a princely family, he left behind him all the trappings of worldly existence, including, one might add, his wife and his son. So he's normally represented just in a monk's robe. But this depiction here, this sculpture here, shows him with jewelry, with armbands, and with a crown. And it's because it's to represent him as a universal monarch in a way. But what is most interesting is that you'll see that he's being sheltered by these serpents. And this is a type of Buddha called Muchilinda, and he's also actually sitting on serpents as well. And it's from Cambodia, from Angkor, around about the 12th century, 11th to 12th century. And it's particularly common in Khmer Buddhist art. Angkor and Khmer is now what is located in Cambodia. The Buddha, as he achieved enlightenment, or after he'd achieved enlightenment, in the hours following his attainment of enlightenment, a thunderstorm started up, but some serpents came up behind him to shelter him from the rain as it poured down. So it's an image, actually, that's very popular in Khmer Buddhist art in Angkor, but less so elsewhere. And it's probably because the serpent, and actually they're called Nagas in Khmer tradition, were probably had an additional significance in that tradition that was not limited to Buddhism, and they're probably connected with royalty.
Is there a particular message that you hope people take away from seeing this exhibit?
I think so. I think it's one of peace, actually. But really, Buddhism is a religion that, although there has been turbulence in Buddhism and there have been schisms and disputes between various Buddhist schools, it hasn't really been a warlike religion. And so I think it's a religion really where people can take spiritual nourishment from. In a way, it's dependent on yourself, because meditation is something that you have to do. It's not dependent on an outside, necessarily on an outside being, although bodhisattvas clearly are there to help you. So we hope that people will come and enjoy and will leave with a sense of spiritual fulfillment.
Colin McKenzie is Museum Curator and Associate Director of the Asia Society. The World of Buddhism exhibit at the Society's New York headquarters runs through August 24th.